Most of us think of surfing. We probably don't think about Wisconsin, but believe it or not, Sheboygan is Wisconsin's very own Malibu. Commentator Bill Polevic tells the story of surfing the Great Lakes.
I first heard rumors of a hardy band of Lake Michigan surfers who transformed Sheboygan into the Malibu of the Midwest back in the late 1980s. I grew up just 30 miles south of these guys in the Milwaukee suburb of Mequon. Lake Michigan was in my backyard. Every morning over a bowl of cereal, I'd gaze through my living room window at the Great Lake, but not once did I ever say to myself, "Look at those waves! I'm gonna ride them with a surfboard." Like most Wisconsinites, I never once considered surfing as a local form of recreation, even on the muggiest summer afternoons. Then I moved to California. When lifelong surfers from Malibu, Huntington Beach, San Onofre, and San Diego discovered that I was from Wisconsin, they couldn't contain their excitement. Sheboygan was on their bucket list of places to surf. Intrigued, I knew I had to meet these unlikely Midwestern surfers. Twin brothers Lee Waterfleet and Larry Longboard Williams had dreamed of surfing the world-famous waves of Hawaii, Australia, and California since they were 13 years old. But their reality was Sheboygan, nearly 1,000 miles from either coast. So they brought surfing to Sheboygan. They began surfing Lake Michigan in 1967, and in 1988, they founded the Dairyland Surf Classic. Every Labor Day weekend, surfers from around the world converge on the town. As crazy as it sounds, surfing on the Great Lakes isn't new. It's believed the Great Lakes began hosting surfers nearly 5,000 years ago when Native Americans first developed dugout canoes. Although very little is known about these early Wisconsin residents, there's plenty of circumstantial evidence to support their potential passion for wave riding, much like the ancient Hawaiians. Sheboygan's modern surfing era actually began in 1962, when some local teenagers saw what was happening in Southern California and wondered, "Why can't we surf here?" Sheboygan's ideal surf season is during the fall and winter, when friction created from cold air traveling across the warm water of Lake Michigan creates a wind swell. Because the region juts 5 miles out into Lake Michigan, the city gets winds from most directions, creating the most surfable waves on the lake. The harshest weather conditions also create the best waves, sometimes more than 12 feet tall. The violent weather systems required for good surfing conditions on the lake also make the sport risky. Riptides, wind, and cold are just some of the dangers. Icebergs and hypothermia, not sharks, are a Sheboygan surfer's most treacherous adversaries. When Lee and Larry founded the Dairyland Surf Classic, they had no idea that their passion for the sport would help redefine the nation's bratwurst capital into the Malibu of the Midwest. Even today, most of Sheboygan's 50,000 residents are unaware of their community's growing popularity as a surfing destination. But it's well known among surfers who say you haven't surfed every corner of the planet until you've surfed Sheboygan.
That was commentator Bill Pavletic. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Catch more Wisconsin Life on Wisconsin Public Television Monday nights at 8 p.m. You can find more info at wisconsinlife.org.
Now we have Great Lakes surfing pioneer Larry Longboard Williams with us to talk more about surfing culture in Sheboygan. Larry, welcome to Central Time.
Aloha.
Well, aloha back to you. So surfing culture in Wisconsin, that's something that's new to a lot of us. What makes surfing in Sheboygan so special?
Well, it's kind of funny when you mention surfing to anyone who's not familiar with it here in the Great Lakes, and especially here in Sheboygan. They say, well, that's windsurfing. We love to watch them windsurfing. No, it's not windsurfing. Well, it's those kites, right? We go, no. This is like Moondoggy and Gidget. They go, really? You have waves? And what it is, it's the topography and the location of Sheboygan here on the Great Lakes. We need a low pressure, which brings winds. We're in the prevailing westerlies, so it turns the winds around. So it brings the winds onshore instead of offshore. So it brings our waves onto our shore. But we're centrally located here on Lake Michigan, right in the middle of the western shore of one-fifth of the world's fresh water, the five Great Lakes. And because we're centrally located, we get waves from any direction onshore. North, northeast, south, or southeast, or even east winds bring in quality rideable waves. Now, when you talk about a lake, you think about pine trees and log cabins and cottages and fishing off the little wooden pier. That's not Lake Michigan. Lake Michigan is 22,440 square miles of open water. It's 310 miles long and 110 miles across. It's not a lake. It's an inland ocean. And on any given day, you can stand on our shore and watch ocean-going vessels go by. And then we wait for the storms that whip up winds of 20 to 25 miles an hour or more to produce rideable waves.
Well, I imagine a question you probably get from surfers in warmer places. I gather surf season is in the cold water months sometimes. What kind of, how do you stay warm in cold, cold Lake Michigan?
Well, if you want to stay out for any length of time anywhere on the Great Lakes, you're wearing a wetsuit and with the addition of boots and gloves. And so for many of us, we have two or three different wetsuits depending upon the cold. And, you know, some of our suits at 33-degree water temperature, 24 below wind chills, you know, we could stay out for 3 hours comfortably.
Wow. Well, I have to tell you, Larry, I'm going to confess, one of my dreams is to one day try to surf. I never thought I'd try to do it in Lake Michigan. That just seems crazy. But for those of us who've never surfed before, what does it feel like to surf a wave on Lake Michigan?
Well, the Beach Boys had it right when they said, catch a wave and you're sitting on top of the world. You try it one time and you are certainly hooked. You paddle out as hard as you can, sometimes on the biggest days, over a half mile, three quarters of a mile out. And every wave that hits you tries to put you back on the beach. And you work like the dickens to get way out past the biggest breakers. And you get out there, you're so winded, you just can't believe you made it out there. If somebody started your hair on fire, you wouldn't be able to put your arms over your head to put it out. And then you look, and these surfers are skidding past you, gliding on these fiberglass airplane wings. And you turn around and catch your first wave. And waves are traveling anywhere from 12 to even 15 miles an hour in, but you combine that with a free fall drop, that the G-force factor is phenomenal, that you do these big arcing turns, and you've got this liquid beast that's trying to eat you as you're propelling forward on these fiberglass rockets at what seems to be like 90 miles an hour. And you try to perform all these maneuvers without thinking about them. If you think too hard, you wipe out, and you get gobbled and sent to the bottom. And you finally make it to shore, and you stand there, and you actually put your hand on your neoprene chest to feel your heart almost pounding through that rubber.
Wow, sounds pretty spectacular.
And you think, I'm just going to stand here for a few minutes and think about what I just did. But then you look out and you realize, heck, I could be missing even better waves. So you paddle out and start all over again.
Can you ride the pipe or the tube like you can on the ocean where you're literally encased in a tube of water?
Absolutely. We've got, because this place is so diverse for surfing and such a rich history, we've got a place called North Point that has been referred to as the Mount Everest of freshwater surfing. We've also got a reef 1 mile out that in the movie Step Into Liquid, you could hear me say the line, we've got barrels so big you could hide a Volkswagen in them. It's just like Banzai Pipeline, North Shore of Oahu, Hawaiian Island.
Now, you've said, I gather, surfing is more than a sport. It's a lifestyle. Why is that?
Oh, and it certainly is. It's the vehicle you drive to put these 10, 11-foot-long surfboards in or on. It's the terrible colored shirts we have to wear, and it's the living life and raising your children on the beach so you can enjoy your passion. It's the way we decorate our homes. It's the food we eat so we can endure this cold water and these long paddle outs. Heck, we even have our own music. Golf doesn't have their own music. Fishing doesn't even have their own music. But we've got our own music. And it's not, we think of it less as a sport as it is a lifestyle. We've got our own language. And it's just a cool place to be. And especially the 47 years that my twin brother and I have been doing this, it's our passion, and it's the vacations we take and the way we live our lives.
And Larry, in our last minute here, how would you say surfing culture has changed in Sheboygan over the years?
Well, it's amazing. We had old scuba suits that didn't fit real well. We didn't have ankle leashes that are safety factors now that tether us to our boards. The boards that were 45 pounds years ago now weigh 8 pounds. We have wetsuits that are very flexible and keep us so warm. But we have this whole culture of these so many people traveling in. Hawaiians leave Hawaii to come surf Sheboygan. Californians and everyone come to our uncrowded freshwater waves. We've never had a shark attack. And what it is, it's this great aloha spirit, this family sharing, this extended family that the Hawaiians call ohana, that is so rich here in our traditional Midwest values that brings people to the jewel of Sheboygan.
Well, Larry, thank you so much for joining us. It's fantastic to hear about. Appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it too. Aloha.
Aloha to you. That was Larry Longboard Williams, Great Lakes surfing pioneer.